Quite often the Lord has a sense of humor, and I'm a little, I don't have a great sense of humor, but anyway, you know, like this thing we saw this morning, you know, sometimes the Lord just needs a rest, right? Especially when it comes to counting the hairs on your head. Like he likes to see guys like me. So I need a rest this morning. Okay, no hair to count here. Just keep on going. And a few of you out there as well. And then I like this part about the ears, that they keep on growing. And I just pray that our ears would keep on hearing as well and become, we know as we get older that our hearing sometimes goes. And mine is okay, but my wife just talks a little quietly. So that's her problem. But, you know, it's good when we become mature that our ears actually continue to hear more sharply, right? And so that was a great introduction this morning as we saw that today. A few Sundays ago, we started to speak about looked at the question, do I really want God to speak to me? And we started with it, we ended with it, we said we'd give you a week to think about it, but here we are like 3 weeks later, and so you've had all this time to think about it, and maybe some of you have come to a decision, maybe some of you haven't, that's okay, right? God's not put in a box to say, okay, I'll give you a timeline now if you're not there, you know, off go your toes or whatever, and but God is still, I think, really concerned that we are honest, and God appreciates honesty. And so when it comes to this whole area of me wanting to hear God speak, I need to be honest. And because there are times in our lives and there are situations in our lives, there are areas in our lives, we just say, well, you know, I'm not sure, God, whether I'm really ready to hear you speak. Because what happens if we're not ready and God speaks? What happens, right? We don't hear. And we don't understand. And so I need to be ready that when God speaks, I need to be prepared. You know, it's not a good idea if you're going to be bungee jumping to decide you don't want to jump when you're already 10 feet down. So let's not get into stuff that maybe later on we say, well, no, I'm not sure whether I should have done this or not. And so the question to us this morning is, does God still, August the 9th, 2015, terrorist, British Columbia, my age, my position in life, does he still speak to me? And do I really need him to speak to me? Does he want to? What is the situation? Now, I've lived in a culture, and I should say we've lived in a culture, where I've learned that you can hear what is being said, but you don't understand what is being said. And sometimes that's the problem in our own culture as well, that we can hear what is being said, but we don't understand what is being said. For instance, the Africans have a wonderful word that they use when you get to their door. And it's a very short word. It's hodi. And I'm often tempted even to use it here at home. But you get to somebody's door in a hut, or it doesn't matter where it is, and you just say hodi. And then you wait to hear. Now, the person might say, come in. But you know that that does not mean come in. It just means wait. It just means I have heard you. But then if he, after a short period of time, sometimes it can be a longer period of time, you're just standing there. Like, you have to be patient. They're patient, so you have to be patient. And then he will say, come on in. So you understand if you're in a culture for some time, you understand what is being meant by what is being said. Matthew 21 gives an account there, and it says, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went, and he came to the second, and he said likewise. And he answered, the second son answered and said, I go, sir. And when not? This guy was British. Like, he knows what sir meant, right? Like, yes, sir. And he went not. So this speaks to us about hearing, right? There's something involved here about hearing. And what happened as a result of them hearing? And what action did each one of them take? And we're not going to go into it, but you can make that as a dinner conversation this afternoon to argue one way or another. But, you know, I'm very sad to say that there is still a teaching today in certain circles that God is done speaking. Now, to me, that is very, very sad. That we can live in a society, we can live in an enlightened day and age, of where still we hear people saying that God is done speaking. The contention is that God spoke through the prophets. And then God spoke through Jesus Christ in the New Testament, right? And through his disciples and John's revelation and so forth. And so then it goes on and just says that, you know, since the scriptures are fulfilled, and that's all that God had to say. He's done speaking. And that is something, like I said, it's really sad to me, because the contention is that educated people and pastors and other scholars, Christian scholars, for instance, professors, you know, if you don't understand the word, they can explain to you what it means. And I think if we are familiar with the New Testament, then we can just look at the lives of the Pharisees, and they will pretty well explain to us what can happen when other people begin to explain God's word to me, right? It can go way, way off course. And the Bible makes it very clear that it cannot be understood. Scripture cannot be understood outside of the Holy Spirit speaking into my life. It's very clear. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And I think that God purposely designated it this way so that kingdom truths cannot be fully understood without divine intervention in my life. And I need to understand as well that this speaking into my life by the Holy Spirit, that it happens in stages. It's not going to happen all at once. It's not going to happen in the blowing of the rushing, the rushing wind, right, as we find in Acts. But as we mature in Christ, we begin to understand Scripture in a different way. Now, there's some Scriptures that we've understood since we were children. We understand them to this day. But as we mature, we get a new understanding of Scripture. And as life experiences happen in our lives, Scripture takes on new meaning. And, you know, we can read a sign. Road time, all roadside all the time, right? Slippery when wet. But let me tell you, you will not fully understand what that means until your vehicle starts to fishtail down the road. Then you will understand, oh, that's what that sign means. And so it is in Scripture that as life goes on, we begin to understand, now, this is really what it means. Luke chapter 10, verse 21, he says, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." And Jesus himself confirmed what Job long ago declared in that rhetorical question. Can you find God by searching for him? The obvious answer is no. I mean, you can look all over and you will not find God. And even if he's right there, standing right there, talking to you, you will not be able to identify that it's God's word really speaking into your heart. We can find out about him. We can find out all about him. We can learn about all kinds of things. We can go take all kinds of courses and things, but we will not find God. Luke 8:10 says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." And I think the secret to hearing God's voice is humbleness. It's just being open and just saying, "God, like, here I am." Because so many times we bring all kinds of baggage into our conversation with God. We have all these things that we have learned, that we have experienced, that others have taught us and so forth. But we just need to leave all of those things at the door, as we often say, right? When we read God's word, let's just be open and say, "God, speak to me. Let your word become alive to me as I read it this morning or this evening or whenever we do our private devotions. And just help me forget all the things that I've been taught and so forth. And just speak into my life." And that's why I tell people, do not mark your Bible. Okay, I'm King James guy, right? And the reason I like King James, I don't even mark my Bible there. But anyway, the reason I like King James, because, I mean, it says it like it is. Like, I think there were some Germans involved in writing the King James Version. Like, it really says it like it is. Anyway, that being aside, the reason I tell people don't mark in your Bible, because, you know what? You mark a little thing in your Bible today, and like 20 years later, when you read that scripture, you're just going to see that what God spoke to you about 20 years ago, right? Forget it. No. If you're going to mark your Bible, buy a new Bible every year and then take your Bible reading. Or take notes and just, but keep your Bible. So, because I want God to speak to me in a fresh way every day when I read His Word. It's great to be reminded of what He spoke to me about like 20 years ago, but I need to hear God's voice today. And I need to just allow Him as I read His Word that He draws my mind in, to concentrate on what He wants to say to me and what He really has fresh. In Luke chapter 9, verses 45 and 44 and 45, it says, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." Now, what clear message could Christ have given to the disciples? I mean, very, very clear, right? But listen to what happened. They did not understand what was meant. It was hidden to them. So even though Christ was very, very clear in what he was saying, they didn't understand. Until after the fact, and they said, oh, that's what he was talking about. It's like that sign, right? When your car starts to fish, they say, oh, that's what that sign means. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17, it says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because my Father has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." And if people living right with Christ and speaking and hearing him speak like face to face, if they could not understand what he is saying, how much more do you think for you and I? That there are things that we don't understand until the Holy Spirit enlightens them to us and reveals to us exactly what is meant by them. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "A time is coming when all of these things will come to an end. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears." The perfection appearing there, when it talks about the perfection appearing, it talks about Christ appearing, right? We will know all things, and all things are going to be well. And these are all gifts that we find listed there. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "Now we see but a poor for reflection as in a mirror. But then we shall see as face to face." That's going to be wonderful, right? Because we will see him who is perfect, and we will understand perfect as well, as he says. 1 Corinthians 13, 1:12b now says, "I know in part, then I shall know fully." And I know that oftentimes God speaks. But we couch it sometimes in a little different terms, right? Sometimes we will say, "Oh, I just thought I should go." Or, "I kind of had this on my heart, I should do this." Or maybe we say, "Well, I had a feeling that I should just do this." Or, "You know, I kept having this little nudge in me that I should do it." And so we couch that really in hearing God speak, and we sort of put it over to a human side. But it's really God speaking to us, right? And it's God saying to us, "Do this or do that," or and all of those things that are there. And, you know, there are times when God speaks to me, and it is for me personally. And then there are times when God speaks to us where it's meant to be more in a public way. And I think this is where Proverbs 15:22 comes in, when we feel that a message that God has given me is for everybody. And sometimes we run into that. Proverbs 15:22, I think, gives us the secret to it there. And it says that without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. What that is saying is simply that when I feel that God is saying something to me that is for everybody, I need to talk to somebody. And I need to get counsel from someone and say, like, how do you understand this? How do you feel about this, right? And that does not mean that I phone up about 10 people trying to find two that will agree with me. And that's, again, our human nature, right? Like, we want to find those guys that agree with us. But it means that we genuinely listen to how other people are dissecting what I feel that God has given to me to be something that is for everyone. And really, that's what it's concerning, if we're talking about becoming an ordained pastor, right? It's not that I feel that I'm called of God. It's important probably that I do. But it's also the understanding that others recognize a ministry that God has given me. And that's all that ordination is all about. It's just that others have recognized that what I feel is my calling, that really they as well see my calling. And as I said before, I've attended too many meetings anyway in my life. But, you know, when I go to a meeting, like, I'm always going with a pencil on paper. And so the meeting starts, they look around, oh, Ron, you've got pencil paper. Okay, you'll be recording secretary today. Like, I don't do it on purpose, right? But I just go prepared. And sometimes when people recognize that we are prepared, and when God recognizes that we are prepared, that's when he can speak into our lives as well. And it's so critical that we know the Bible. Because it is a filter. And the things that I think I'm hearing, and the things that I think that I'm feeling, it is a filter. Is this really true? And I know we've got all kinds of people, and it happens to us all the time, that, when they feel that God is speaking to them, they'll look for a verse in the Bible that really backs it up. Now, let me tell you something. With all of these translations around, you can literally find an argument for everything that you want to find an argument for. Okay, you can either say amen or ouch, whatever. But that's the way it is, right? We can look up verses and this translation, I was talking about the other day. Okay, I won't mention what we were talking about. But anyway, so we need to just say, Lord, speak into my life. And I don't want to find a verse in a certain translation that just fits what I feel. I want you to speak into my life. And when we're talking about God speaking to us, right, and the word, like, we're not talking about just like everyday events, like, should I take this road today or that road, or should I wear blue or pink? Oh, yeah, sorry, men, that doesn't belong to you. Or should I wear high heels or flats? No, that's not for men either. But, you know, we can get to that place. God, like, here I am. Like, what am I supposed to do today? No, that's ridiculous, because God has given us a mind. Sometimes it's not good, but he's given us a mind, and he expects us to use it, right? So when God is there, he wants to speak to us about those things that are important in our lives, that will have lasting values, whether they will have maybe lasting impact on our lives, maybe like moving someplace or marriage or choosing a profession or whatever it is. But that's what God sees as those things that are important. And he wants to minister to us, and he wants to bring those things into our mind and give us in direction those things as well. And I don't need to, this is really what I'm going to say now. I don't need to say it because you all know it, that communication is important, and we need communication as a two-way street, right? Yeah. So if you want God to speak to you, you need to speak to God as well, because that's how he works. That's how he speaks, and that's how he interacts with all of us. John 17, verse 3 says, now this is eternal life, that you may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So Genesis, matter-of-factly, very, very early on in itself, it gives that statement that God was in the beginning, and that he spoke to Adam and to Eve. He communicated with them. He wasn't way out there somewhere. He communicated with them. And he wants to do the same for us today. One time a lady was in our area, and she was doing some teaching, and her husband was quite a bit older than she was. He was about 80 years old. And so she phoned me up. She said, let's just say it in perfect English, right? Can you do something with this guy? Like, I'm busy. And I said, yeah, bring him over to the orphanage, or I'll pick him up in the morning, I'll take him over there. And he was 80 years old. Like, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't really, didn't have a lot of energy and so forth. And so, again, in the evening time, I would be there, I'd take him back to town and so forth. And so, one day, I was coming home with him, and we got to the railroad track, and always, right, when you get to a railroad track, you know what happens? There's trains there. And this guy, he used to sit like this, and suddenly he just, like, he woke up. Like, he became 40 years old. Wow, like, what happened to this guy? And so he got a piece of paper in his pocket, and he started to write down things. And so I said to him, I said, what happened? He said, oh, you see that train over there? Like, this is in Africa, right? He says, you see that train over there? He said, they're made by in Canada. And he said, only were 20 made. And you see those serial numbers? That's what they mean. And he got all animated. And he started telling me about trains and about all of these things. And, from that time on, I had something that I could really relate to him about, right? And that's why God is. Like, he wants something that he can relate to us. And that we can relate to him as well. And those locomotives, like, they just really, they got this fella animated. Psalm 25:14 says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. And he makes known to them his covenant. In other words, he confides in us. Isn't that pretty awesome? That our God confides in us, in you, in me. So, does God speak today? Job says God does speak, sometimes one way, sometimes another. Even those people may not understand it, he speaks in a dream or in a vision of the night when people are in deep sleep, lying on their beds. He speaks in their ears and frightens them with warnings to turn them from doing wrong and to keep from being proud. God does this to save a person from death and to keep him from dying. And this is what God does, right? He speaks into our lives. And as I said before, sometimes we call it intuition, sometimes we call it premonition. But it is the voice of God as Job describes it. God speaks into our hearts. And again, you know, I'm not a dreamy guy. And when I do have a dream, and if I ever remember it, I still don't try to figure out like what this is. But let me tell you, when God gives you a dream and it has some purpose, he will give you the purpose of that dream. Like, you will not have to go anywhere and ask somebody, what do you think this means? When people come to me and having dreams and they ask me what it means, I usually tell them what it means, which is nothing. But, and that's why it's so important in Samuel, as we read there, you know, here's Samuel, his young man Samuel, and he's lying down and he hears a voice. And he, you know, he responds and he runs to the priest and he says, Eli, he said, I'm here. And the priest says, no, go back to bed. Like, you know, you just had a dream. And as Samuel hears again a voice, and he runs back to the priest Eli, and he says, again, you called, I'm here. And when he hears it the third time, he says, he understands. Suddenly Eli, this priest, this old priest, he understands, here is God talking to this young man, Samuel. And he says to him, go lay down and listen to the voice that is coming, and he instructs Samuel to answer God. And the answer he tells him to say is, here I am, God, speak to me. And so we need to have that desire in our hearts for God to speak to us. One of the most remarkable accounts that I can remember in all of our years of missionary service, what happened to me in the very west part of Tanzania, actually almost on the Uganda border. And, I wish I was good with words, which I'm not good with words, but let me tell you, this is a beautiful part of the country. High hills, very, very fine, short grass, all the roads will go on the top of the hills, and you can look down to the deep valleys. It looks like a lawnmower has been there, a few trees. And if you're a hunter like I am, then you always imagine there's some animals down there as well that could be hunted as well, right? But so I was in this area, way, way in this beautiful area. I was in a church that was standing as well, or situated on top of a hill, and looking out over fields of corn and millet. and banana plant groves and so forth. And we had a service, and that day, and I still to this day do not understand what happened. But I was, usually after the service, we always went with the pastor for food and all of this stuff. But this time I was invited to an old lady's hut. And again, in all my African experiences, it's never happened to me where I was invited alone to a place, usually because there's always a mass of people around. There are ladies cooking and they're running in and out and there's children there and there are men there. But for some reason, I was alone with her and she began to tell me a story. And she's, you know, the hut is like 12 foot diameter, right? And so you're sitting there. I'm sitting by the door. That's usually where you sit so that you get some fresh air at least. And she's running in and out a bit of a door here, cooking back and forth. And there's smoke and your eyes are watering. But she came back. She said, I want to tell you something. And she said, you know, I'm old. And she was illiterate. Now, let me explain to what it means to be illiterate. She could not read and write. But that is what we talk about being illiterate, right? But we are illiterate when we go to their country because oftentimes there are signs in the trees or on the road or on a hut somewhere that we simply don't know how to read it. So when I say she was illiterate, I'm just talking about it from my sense and from our Western perspective that she could not read or write. And so she said to me, you know, like I can't even read the Bible. But something happened. She said a church came and the church is where we were this morning. And a pastor came and he ministered the word and I accepted Christ. And then sometime later, my older son came to me. And he said to me, and these were her words. He said, you stupid old woman, which is, again, very non-African culturally. He said, you have turned to follow after this new religion, and you have left the religion of our forefathers. It is the true religion. And then she said to me, you know, she said, I was bewildered because I want to follow God and I want to love God. I didn't know whether to go right or left and whether he was right or whether what I'm hearing in the church is right. But she said, you know, I said to God, you know, I just want to serve you. I want to be what you wanted me to be. Which way is right? And I'm sitting here. And up there, she has a little loft about 4 feet high. And she said, you know what she said? She said, this person in white came and he sat right up there. She said, right up there. Like this is about 3 feet, 4 feet away, right? And he sat right up there. And he said to me, read out of John. And John 14:21. And it says there, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Then this person said to me, read out of another part of a John, another part. She said, I didn't know what John was. But she said, what happened when I went to church on Sunday, I told the pastor to read these. They're obviously from the Bible. And so he read them and they were all promises. She said, and she was so excited. She said, they were all promises to me. That's God, right? Yeah. He sees my heart. He sees your heart. And he wants to talk to you and he wants to speak into your life. I am so thankful this morning that our God is alive. And that our God speaks, right? And that our God ministers to our heart and that we can have fellowship with him. And that he speaks to us today. But I think what is so oftentimes missing in our own lives is just this idea of Samuel, just saying, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening and is wanting to do what you want us to do. Have the worship team, if you'll just come up. So I just pray this morning as well that that's where our hearts will be, that we will say, Lord, here I am. That speak into my life, speak into my heart. And you know, when God speaks, we know it. I read something which I had really not thought about, which is kind of just, it's just common sense when you think about it. But I read just a little while ago that you never see a headline which says, psychic wins lottery. Have you ever? Who it is that really speaks into our lives? It's not the psychic. It's God. And that's the way God wants it to be. And if the Lord was not intent on speaking today, he wouldn't have encouraged us to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, right? Why? Why would he invite us? Why would he encourage us to do that? He would also not invite us and encourage us to pray for those in authority. A lot of other things in Scripture as well. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at different times and in different ways, and in the past spoke unto our fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And there's, I'm sure, 100% today. There are none of us here this morning that will not admit that we are living in the last days. And so there we are. John 16:7 says, Jesus speaking here, if I go, I will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Let your heart, and this morning again, I just pray that our hearts would soar in the praise and worship to him. And let me tell you one other very straight out fact, right? That unless we know him, we cannot expect him to speak into our lives. And so I challenge you this morning that if you do not know him, that God would place a desire in your heart to know him. And I'm not maybe in a lot of ways traditional. And I know we have altars and the place for the altars as well. And if you want to come to know the Lord, you can come to the altar. But I also think that if the Lord has spoken into your heart and into your life, you need to talk to somebody. Maybe it might even be during the week. Just call somebody up and say, you know, the Lord's been talking to me. And I just need to give my life over to him. So let's just be real, right? You know, one of our problems in the church is that we're too spiritual. That we, you know, we're always trying to spiritualize everything. No, like, we are normal people, right? And God speaks to us in different ways. And he doesn't only talk to us in coming to the altar on a Sunday morning, but he talks to us every day throughout our lives and throughout the week. And so if you feel challenged and if God is challenging you to give your life to him, just do it in some way. But follow after him and give your life to him. And let's just stand this morning, because I'm sure this song that the worship team is going to sing for us and lead us in, you know, we cannot sing that sitting down. So go for it. Amen.